We're going to spend some time now hearing about a story in the Bible where Jesus performed a miracle. And we've heard today's stories from Christine and Fiona, and I think you'll agree they've been very brave sharing real personal stuff up front here. And we're going to hear of a story tonight where Jesus healing this person was a process. Just like Fiona was taken on a process by God to her healing, this person was taken on a process too, which is quite unusual because most of the stories that we read in the Bible, if you're familiar with it, when Jesus said one word, it happened. When he said, be healed, it happened. When he touched somebody, they were healed. When he calmed the storm, it healed. And all these things happened immediately like that. Well, tonight, this story I love in particular because it wasn't instant. And I can take encouragement from this, and I hope you can too. I'm going to read from the New Amplified Version, simply the New American Standard, sorry, simply because it says more in it than the Bibles in your pews. And I just hope you can listen tonight and enjoy this story. It's taken from Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. And let me read it to you. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. Then again, he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored, and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him home, saying, do not enter the village. A great story. For starters, Jesus and his disciples were in Bethsaida, and this was on the north shore of Galilee. And there had been miracles performed. But the thing about Bethsaida was the people were reluctant to believe who Jesus was, the fact he had the power to heal, and they hadn't fully grasped the magnitude of this human standing before them, who we know as the Son of God. So, this is the first time some people brought someone to Jesus without the person themselves wanting to be healed. By hook or by hook, they brought him in. And they put the man before Jesus and they implored him to touch him. These people knew that Jesus had a healing touch. They knew that one touch from him would restore this man's sight to perfected 20/20 vision. They implored him, they begged him, they pleaded with him, Jesus, would you touch him? So they knew he had the power to heal. But the first touch from Jesus was not one to heal. What did he do first of all? He led him by the hand and he brought him out of the village. How beautiful is this? Jesus could easily have done that, be healed, man healed instantly. But the first touch was not to heal. He wanted to encourage him, to take him to a safe place where the people that he would be surrounded with had faith. The disciples believed Jesus could heal. Jesus knew he could heal. And the man was taken out of the village of disbelief and taken alongside to a place of intimacy with the Lord, with those round about saying, come on, this is real, he can do this. So he guided him, he took him away gently, and he led him to amongst the people of faith. Now, he spat on him, which to you and I would be kind of revolting and playground stuff. But as we know, in those days, spitting on someone was common practice, not out of disrespect, but it was understood that there were healing properties in the spit. And if you think about it, you cut your finger, what's the first thing you do? You shove it in your mouth. So it was natural. So Jesus used a method that the man was comfortable with. It was socially acceptable. He knew that this was a natural thing to do. He met him at his place of belief. How gorgeous is that? He knew exactly this man's mindset. He knew his social standing. He knew his thoughts. He knew where he was at. And Jesus met him one-on-one in that place. He laid hands on him. Now that hand, you and I know, would be a hand to heal. But for this man, I wonder if that healing, that hand, sorry, didn't bring healing, but brought reassurance, brought comfort. He was amongst a different group of people where he would have sensed, if you've got anything in you, you sense the atmosphere around. I believe if he's blind, he must have had an increased sense of what was going on. He knew these people had faith. He wasn't sure what on earth was going to happen, and he couldn't see what was going to happen. So this touch, I believe, brought comfort. It indicated that Jesus was present. He had his hand on him. He said, okay, let me do this with you. But we know that through that touch, the healing power would start to flow once he had been put at ease. And then Jesus said to him, do you see anything? Now we know Jesus would know the man's state. He would know that the man's sight had not been fully healed. But what I think is beautiful here, that the healing process began at a rate the man was comfortable with. It would bring confidence and not cause fear. So socially things were okay. He had the comfort of Jesus' touch. And he was being encouraged, if you liked, to explain what was happening. This is the best bit. The man gave an honest report. Now, if you and I had Jesus standing beside you and Jesus had touched you, would you turn around and say, I'm sorry, Lord, you've not quite cut it yet? I don't think so. But I love this guy. He was honest to the core. He was polite. He was not afraid to say, actually, Lord, it's not all 2020. I see people, they're kind of like trees walking around. Now, we're not told if the man was born blind, but to me, that very statement would suggest he understood people and he understood trees. So perhaps he'd lost his sight through illness or through a disease or an accident. Who knows? I want to ask that question in heaven. How did you get to that place? But his sight had not been perfected. Now, did he turn and walk away? No, he stayed put. He persisted. How gorgeous is that? He just said to Jesus, you've not quite finished this yet. And he stayed, perhaps now with a sensed, increased sense of expectancy. Well, let's just see. We're partly done. Let's see what this Jesus can do. So he stayed. Then Jesus, for the third time touching him, once to lead him away, the first time on his eyes, the third time he laid his hands on him. And the man opened his eyes and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. This is a great part. Not only was Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray for the sick, but we can learn from this and be encouraged too. Again, Jesus laid his hands on the man's eyes. He repeated the process. He didn't say, sorry, you've had your shot, away you go. He repeated the process. How encouraging is that for us who perhaps have been prayed for but haven't experienced the fullness of healing that we are longing for? How encouraging is it for us if we have been the ones praying for people and we haven't seen the fullness of God's healing being imparted in that person? If Jesus prayed more than once, then that's good enough for me to keep going. So he taught them how to be persistent in praying for the sick. And he teaches us how not to be disheartened if our healing is not instantaneous, but to be persistent coming forward for prayer until we receive our healing. Now with Fiona, that process was gradual. And how many times do you think she asked and cried out to God to heal her, to break this pain, to take it away from her? She was persistent and she was honest with the Lord, saying, I don't forgive him, but I want to forgive my brother. Can you just start where I'm at? So again he did this. The Lord laid his hands on him. Now, the Amplified Version says the man looked intently. That is, he fixed his eyes on definite objects, and he was restored and saw everything distinctly, even what was at a distance. The man tested his healing. He too had a part to play in his own healing. He didn't just stand and let it all happen. He engaged in the process. He couldn't rely on the faith of those that had brought him. He couldn't just rely on, well, they believe, therefore I'll be fine. He opened his eyes. He tested it. He studied. He squinted. He maybe rubbed his eyes and stayed put until it was restored to fullness. How amazing is that? Do we rest and tarry in God's presence when we too want our healing? Or do we turn away and say, right, that's it now, I'm done? But the man put in the effort, and that was what encouraged and brought about the restoration process. Then the breakthrough came. So if you're coming for prayer, you have a part to play too. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus meets us where we're at, and he is gentle. He's a gentleman. He will meet us and take us forward at a pace we can understand. I remember a long time ago, I had been signed off work with depression. I was in my early 20s and everything seemed great, but I was very clearly not great and had been signed off. And I remember reading in the book of James, and I'll read the verse to you now, that weekend that I'd just been signed off. And it says here in chapter 5, it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, then he will be forgiven." So I believed that chapter. I believed that if I asked the right people to pray for me and to lay hands and to put oil on me, that I would be healed. So that night on the way to church, I remember saying to Tim in the car, "Now, if our pastor offers prayer for healing tonight, I'm going to ask for healing." I just knew in my knower, you know, when you know her, you're going to do this thing. And service went on and I was getting more and more nervous. And you know, your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth and the palm of your hands get all sweaty and you're waiting for this moment. Is he or is he not going to offer prayer? Well, he did. And my hand shot up. I'll have some of that. So over he came. And as will happen tonight, he very gently put some oil on my brow and said, "I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then laid his hands on me and prayed for me and prayed that this depression would go. Well, I'm not kidding. It's just as well I was sitting down, because the heat that flowed from the top of my head right the way through my spine and out my arms to my feet and down my legs was overwhelming. And I now know that it was the healing power of God flowing through my body. I cried. I didn't shake, but it was a physical sensation and an emotional sensation, but it was God healing. Now I can tell you from that moment on, I know I was healed. Because as Fiona said, the splinter was pulled out in her. I felt this weight and this ache that, if you've ever had depression, this ache that's inside you was broken, gone. I was free. And I felt so light inside. But I had to engage in the process, just as this blind man had to engage. Yes, emotionally I had been healed, but I then had to go through the process of working out and working through what was in my mind, why I had fallen to the place I had fallen. What were the lies I had believed? What were the misconceptions I had fallen to? What was the mind pattern, you know, the thought process that had to be broken so that I wouldn't go back to that place? So my body was healed, my emotions were healed, but my thinking had to catch up. And that's when the healing became complete. This man had to open his eyes and look intently to see. and test and be honest with God and engage in the process of what was happening. And then Jesus sent him home. He said to the man, "Now go home and don't even enter the village." Jesus sent him to share the good news of the healing with those who would understand and be impacted by his encounter with Jesus. Remember, the people in the village had chosen not to believe and chosen not to accept. So from that place of faith, he was sent home to his own place where he could share. After that healing I had experienced, I had to be careful who I shared that with, because it sounded a bit Fruit Loopy to those around me. But I knew I was safe to share with my husband and safe to share with my parents. And each of them saw that change in me. They saw it instantly. The eyes were different. But they understood and encouraged me and helped me on the process of engaging with that and working through why I'd got there. So just as he had to be careful, so did I. So this evening, you have been led here to a safe place to meet Jesus amongst those who have faith. And we believe he will meet you in your place of need tonight. Maybe no friend brought you, but we believe the Holy Spirit brought you here. That God put his finger on you and said, "This is your moment. Come." So Jesus has led you to a safe place here, just as he led the blind man. And Jesus knows fully and understands what level of faith you have with him. He knows your hang-ups regarding healing. He knows your past experiences in life that have brought you to this place. And he understands everything you struggle with and the things you wrestle with deep inside you that nobody knows about. Just as Jesus led the blind man by the hand, he too is drawing you aside with compassion, with understanding, with gentleness this evening. He longs to meet with you here. You have nothing to fear. Now, when you're prayed for, if you come forward, the people praying for you will ask if it's okay to put their hand on you. They're doing it because we've seen Jesus do it, and we believe that the healing power of the Lord will flow through them and into you. For some this evening, you've received prayer for your ailment, condition, or situation many times before. And perhaps you're sitting there thinking, "That's great, but why should I bother going for prayer again? It didn't work before. Why on earth would it work again?" Well, we've just seen in our passage, if Jesus prayed twice, and this man was persistent, and even more so, then why can't we? We believe that Jesus will come and meet you. We believe that there will be a measure of healing tonight. For some, it may be the beginning of a long process. For some, it may be the beginning of a peace that falls on you and using today's things that you understand to help that healing. Like doctors, we've got doctors for a reason, folks. It's okay to go to them. And God can use medical people like he did with Christine and the Holy Spirit and bring about that perfect healing. It may be it's instant. Fantastic. But whatever it is, don't miss that opportunity tonight. Can we pray? And then we'll have a continued time of worship. And then we'll invite you forward for prayer at the right moment. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that teaches us amazing things. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that as you prayed twice for this man, you were teaching us to be persistent. So Father, this evening, we pray for your presence to fall in power in this place through your Holy Spirit. That tonight you will settle any fears. You will settle any turmoil within those questioning whether to come for prayer. But Lord Jesus, we recognize this is not us that performs this healing. It is you. And we come before you humbly this evening. And we invite you to move in power. We invite you, Lord, to come and rest on us in your Holy Spirit. That tonight those that come forward will indeed meet with you, Lord Jesus. Whether it be emotional, physical, or a thinking that's needing sorted, or a mindset, or a lack of faith, or a lack of knowledge or relationship with you, Father God, we invite you all to come forward now and to be in your presence, Father. Have your way, Lord God. Let your will be done in this place.